What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey, Monday, it is Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Hope everybody had a terrific weekend. Holiday weekend coming up. Just a few days away.
You went to the lake a weekend early.
I did. Way less busy at the Ozarks compared to what it's going to be this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, yes, it was nice. Nice to go down there. And luckily on Saturday,
avoided.
I did not. Not this trip. Avoided some of the rain. Yesterday, we were already headed back when it just started raining all over the whole entire drive back. But no, it was good. It was good to go to the Ozarks and head down there. But 4th of July weekend, I've been there for a 4th of July weekend before, and it's a little bit crazier. The water traffic, like depending on the boat you have, is also on the main channel. It's a little rough out there if depending on the boat you have. So it's actually sometimes better to go the weekend before. And yeah, we enjoyed it. Had a good time out there and good to be back. And, hope some of you, are able to go somewhere this week for the holidays. I know a lot of you maybe are taking the long weekend as well. So it's another short week.
Yeah, you know, the holiday on the Friday part of it kind of plays into it. I had kids over for a sleepover. My daughter had her, birthday party that we had delayed by several weeks due to the fact that we were out of town. So I had loud 9-year-olds.
How was that?
Exhausting. Genuinely. I'm not kidding. On Sunday morning, I felt hungover. I had nothing to drink, and I felt...
Just mentally drained?
Yeah, I felt hungover. There were 6 kids total, including my daughter, over at first. Only a couple stayed the night, but 6 kids over total. And by the time, we had thinned the herd down to the 3, including my kid, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I'm so tired. And then by the time I woke up in the morning, I was like, whew. And I tried, tried to give him some activities and stuff. It was much louder than I was anticipating.
Well, what do you expect? It's 8-year-old kids, 9-year-old kids.
I'm not saying I wasn't expecting it to be loud. It was even louder than I could have imagined. Because I've seen them in groups of 2 or 3 and it's a pretty, it's a loud volume, but it's a normal one. I had not anticipated what 6 of them all together in one room sounds like.
You should have just grabbed yourself a tent and slept outside, away from all of it. On one of your decks,
just
put the tent out there and you could have just slept outside.
Yeah, maybe. For the next time, I guess.
You guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Also, video stream up and running. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Unfortunately, over the weekend in the homestand, once again, the Royals struggled, to say the least. They finally salvaged a single win. On Wednesday's show, we discussed this homestand, and I said, hey, if they go 0-4 on the homestand, then on Monday, let's have the conversation and let's wrap this bad boy up. They went 1-5 on the homestand.
Okay, so now you got to make a decision because they didn't make it easy on you.
They didn't.
Well, they made it kind of easy on you, but not as easy as they could have.
They end up with 1 win in the month of June at home. And this offense, the same story with it continues. They still get good, solid pitching, and there's just not enough offense. We go around this whole thing over and over. They're now at their worst point in terms of the wild card standings that they've been at any point this season. They are 4.5 games back of the final wild card.
Kind of hate that that's a weirdly obtainable number.
Well, and that's the thing
for most teams.
I said on Monday if they went winless on the homestand, they did not barely. So here's where we're at.
If you still think there's some hope.
My updated metric for them, I have always said, if they fall, a deficit larger than 5 games back by the time we get to July 10th, then at that point in time, there is no trade that I want them making that does not only that does not impact 2026 and beyond. So what does that mean has to happen? They have to take 3 of 4 from Seattle starting tonight. 3 of 4, otherwise it is done. 3 of 4 from Seattle, and I know you're saying that's not going to happen, and that's fine, but that's what has to happen. Otherwise, it is over at that point. The only trades I will have interest in making are ones that involve pieces that can come back and be on this team for the next year to 2 to 3 years in terms of control. I'm out on the rental conversation, depending on what happens in this Mariners series. That's where I'm at on it. And yeah, I mean, 4.5 back, man. It's the point where they are about to flip. You get north of 5, it's over.
I'm done. I didn't want to, like, honestly, it's not the position I want to be in. And it goes back to the same thing that I would say normally be the case. I hope they shove this in my face. They're cooked. It's over. The Royals are not making the playoffs. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Drew plays back this audio and mocks me in the middle of September. Nothing would actually bring me greater joy than that. But in being one of the people, including yourself and others, who have been trying to, I think, reasonably be patient, because in a 162-game schedule, you should be. Because right now they're on pace for like 76 wins. So what we're talking about is a team that is currently pacing for about 10 games, maybe, less than what I thought their expectation should have been in a 162-game stretch. So they failed in about 5% of their season, worse than I thought they would. Okay, yeah, I don't want to just bury them. I still think that the hitting from last year is a lot of the same guys who were there last year. I still think the pitching is still pretty good. So, like, it's hard to admit that, and that's why I've been as patient as I have been up to June 30th. Hell, I thought I'd get to July, but I think they're done. I just don't think it's a playoff team. If they told me tomorrow they started selling, I'd be okay. And I'd be understanding of that decision versus I had said they can wait to sell. They still can. They don't have to sell.
Yeah, I'll stick with my original timeline. July 10th. What are they on July 10th? I mean, that's, and it looks like, again, as I've said over and over, we know where this is likely trending. I push back on the idea, though, that, like, if they wait 7 more days to trade Seth Lugo, they're just going to get way less of value back. I just disagree with that. If they wait till July 29th, yes, they will get way less. Waiting, but the difference between trading Lugo on June 30th and July 10th, to me, is not the drastic switch that everybody makes it out to be. But yeah, you can't wait till July 29th. That would be foolish at this point in time, if in fact the team ends up where I think they're going to end up now.
And I mean,
you
they
and
could
I
do
likely
the,
agree with where this probably goes.
Look, and sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you're the Tigers from last year and you sell and still win. Like, I'm not saying that that'll be the case, but I think at this point, like, you got to be sellers. Like, I don't even want to, on this show, entertain the articles that are like, here are the players they could buy. Unless it's for a player with years and years
of control.
Yeah,
I don't want Eugenio Suarez and those guys. Not when you're not on rentals. Not giving
not
up
rentals.
Pieces when you're at this point in time, 4.5 back in the playoff race. So it's just what I'm looking for in trades. That's what has shifted to me with what happened on this homestand, which was a 1-5 homestand between the Rays and the Dodgers. And yeah, they go out west. A Seattle team, by the way, who is in front of them in the wild card standings as well. And that's why I said, unless they shock us and they take 3 of 4 against the Mariners, then yeah, I think it's pretty evident which direction that they're going to need to head in for the future.
Easily the biggest issue is that they can't hit. And we know that. That's not the question. What I still don't, and I think this is what has been the most frustrating thing about this team in particular. The most frustrating part is I watch them be a league average offense with these identical players.
Yeah.
This isn't regression to the mean. This is cratering. So, like, why are you cratering back to this level of offensive performance when I watched these players perform? And I get some of it could just be age. So, like, Salvador Perez coming back to, like, he had a tremendous year last year. And so, like, some of it is that. But not one player should not derail.
But how do you crater back towards a franchise-worse offense? It's because it's not just one player. It's because Bobby Witt Jr., who finished second MVP, he's not having a bad season by any means, but he's not having the MVP-type season. So that's, let's say it's 5 or 10% less Bobby Witt Jr., okay? Salvador Perez, is it 25%, 30% less Salvador Perez this year? Mm-hmm. Vinny Pasquantino, is it 5% less, 10% less? I know he's been much better, but still, runners in scoring position has been a disaster. disaster for this team, and obviously that's the area where he's struggled.
He did have that 5 RBI day on Saturday, which was nice.
You know, their big acquisition in the offseason, Jonathan India, we all know, he has been disappointing. He hasn't been even at the level that you thought you were going to get from him. And then you knew going into the season that your left and your right fielder on opening day were a question mark, and neither's on the team right now. And one's not even on any baseball team in any organization in Hunter Renfroe right now. So that's why it's like, how do you not just regress to the mean? Well, it's because I just listed 4 or 5 players that had major setbacks.
And that's why I assume that, that's why I'm not down on like the future of the organization necessarily. And maybe that's a conversation bigger for later in the week. Where are we moving forward with this team? But like, now that I'm looking at Vinny's stats, this is his second best on base percentage of his career in full season. This is his best batting average, or second best batting average other than his rookie year. So like, I still feel okay.
It's the runners and scoring position numbers.
It's that part. Yeah, that's a huge regression.
It's awful.
And he was one of they were one of the best teams in the league at doing that over the last couple of years. The thing that I think, and somebody had said, like, I'm worried JJ is going to come on the show tomorrow and, you know, say what we had heard a little bit a couple of weeks ago, which is, no, we're not selling and we're not there yet and all these other things, because it is not hard. Like, if I were a member of the Royals, I'm just giving you the opinion of how I think the season will end. If I were a member, like a player for the Royals, or I'm a front office member of the Royals, this is where you run into the difficult stuff. Players, you just try to win. Okay, whatever. The front office part, they're kind of stuck in a spot, because the truth is, in the middle of you struggling, everyone is. The American League has crashed back to earth. Everyone, except the Detroit Tigers, who are the best team in baseball, and the New York Yankees, who are the second best team in the American League. Other than those two teams, everyone is incredibly mediocre. Shockingly mediocre. To me, that just makes this season more frustrating. All you had to do was be mediocre.
You're like three games above 500, two games above 500. Yep.
You didn't have to be, it didn't need to be superstar stuff up to this point. You just had to tread water. And every time it's like, can you just get, like you said, can you win 3 of 4 Seattle, 6 of 8? Like, you're not asking for, like, I'm not asking to win 15 games in a row. I'm asking for a normal stretch, good and bad teams go through throughout the year, like winning 7 of 10, winning, like you said, 3 of 4, and those circumstances in order to crawl back in it. So I don't think the Royals would be quick to sell. I'm not saying they have to be, like I said. I just, you asked me, like, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Official prediction, they are not going to the playoffs. They will win 76, 77 games, and they will come up short of the expectations that we had for them this year.
Part of the offense, too, and not that he was expected to be the savior, but certainly did not expect this would be the start to his first, what are we up to, 23 games of his career. Let's talk about Jack Caglione a little bit.
Okay.
He's hitting 165. What is on base is 211. He's got 2 homers, 4 RBI, 20 strikeouts in his big league career. If you compare it to Bobby Wood Jr.'s first 20, 23 games or so, it's worse, but it's not terribly far off. But just to give you an idea of where things were at, Bobby was hitting 229 through 23 games in his career. Caglione, 1 hit in his last 7 games. That's 27 at-bats, 8 strikeouts at that point in time. I assume our board in here that Dusty updated is correct and everything on there. Am I obviously shocked with the slow start from him? Yeah, but then if we go back to the conversation that we just had where the entire offense has been disappointing, why would I think that the rookie is going to be able to overcome what everybody else is struggling with? You know what I mean?
Sure.
This is why, and I'll say this again, this is the third or fourth straight week. For those that push back when I say, hey, I would have made a hitting coach change, I would have moved on from Alex Zumwalt by now, some will say, well, what does that solve? That doesn't do anything for you in 2025. Two things with that. Number one, I think even if you told me it was a short-lived 2 or 3 week burst, wouldn't you like to see what that could do for the standings for the team? Like, even if you want to go back to George Brett when he was like the interim hitting coach, it did not pan out long-term, but for 2 weeks, go back and look. For 2.5 weeks, it did. I'd like to see if they could get a little jolt for 2 weeks, considering they're 4.5 back of a playoff spot and the calendar doesn't turn to July until tomorrow. So that's my first pushback on the idea of like, well, that doesn't solve anything. The other part is, it's about a long-term decision, and how confident are you about these guys in place to develop your hitting moving forward? And I would be lying to if I told you I wasn't a little scared of the fact that Jack Caglione, since he's come to the big league, suddenly just hits ground balls in the infield. What happened with that?
I don't know.
I understand it's big league pitching and there's an adjustment to be made, but yeah, I think that's very concerning for me, what having this current hitting staff around him might mean for his future career. So yeah, it's not just about 2025 why I think they should make a move with the hitting coach.
I'm not here to try to like sugarcoat Jack's first 23 games. It has not gone great. The power hasn't been there. The ground balls obviously are there, and he's striking out a ton. I also didn't think that that was out of the question. I just didn't think he had anything left to learn in AAA. He was stuck in a position in double and AAA that he wasn't going to learn some of the problems that the scouting staff thought he might have had in his swing or his approach and the free swinging nature of it because he was too good for the players he was up against. I kind of thought this was plausible. So, like, do I think that it's time to send Jack Caglione down? Hell no. Not even close. Not just for the reasons I pointed out that Bobby was pretty bad in his first 23 games. 229 average, as you pointed out, 264 on base, 349 slug. Those are better than Jack Caglione's numbers, but they're not good numbers. And I could point out Nick Kurtz, who's now hitting, if you just want like a current major league option, or any of the others. Sometimes players come to the big leagues and they struggle right away. And if this was just a random 20-game stretch in a full baseball season, we wouldn't even notice.
100%. But here's the problem. And this is, it's not about him. This is about, again, going with the hitting staff and the development part of it. If the rest of the offense was performing well, Cody, if I had more evidence that they would had success with developing hitters, other than I know somebody in the organization would push back and say, oh, we've developed Kyle Isbell. And I mean, no disrespect, even though I guess there's no way of saying this without it seeming that way. You've developed a number 9 hitter. Congratulations. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what I'm looking for when I'm talking about developing hitters.
You're talking middle of the order guys.
Yeah. Correct. And so, yeah, I would be concerned about Caglione's development with this current staff. Yes, that is something that I'm worried about. Not necessarily him, but with this staff, because of what I haven't seen in developing, that's why you make the move. And it's not just about the 2025 season for me.
A lot of it is just like, I feel like sometimes you have to do something, and I know that, like, not to just prove a point, but it doesn't mean that Zumwalt can't, like, this is what's funny about this, is like, I'm not in there, so I can't really tell you for sure. It doesn't even mean that Zumwalt necessarily can't teach hitting or is a good hitting coach. The Royals once fired Kevin Seitzer, who the team was struggling at the time, and he clearly had a very long career being a hitting coach and might be very good at his job.
Turned around the Seattle offense this year, helped
him. And this goes to, like, NFL head coaches, the reason why, like, the Eagles let go of Andy Reid. Sometimes the message isn't right anymore. I don't even know. It could just be the same guy telling you the same thing.
And I understand they have three different voices when it comes to the hitting staff.
Yeah,
I understand.
Saylor and Zumwalt.
And they have other guys because some guys gel better with others. I totally understand that. So it's not just him, but he's the guy they have propped up for many years. And he is the main name involved in their hitting approach at the big league level. And that's Alex Zumwalt.
It's just gotten, like, the Royals get one game where they score more than the previous, like, 10 games combined on Saturday. And then you're like, I'm not, like, lulled into a false sense of security. I don't actually expect it the following day. But I'm like, can we just put together 3 days in a row of quality major league at-bats? I thought they came up short in the runners in scoring position on Friday. But I'm like, quality major league at-bats, okay.
Yeah, we've seen that before, though.
No,
man.
I know.
I mean, the Rangers series thought, like, that was the moment where, okay, maybe things clicked.
No, but I haven't seen them do 3 days in a row. That's the point.
Yeah.
I've seen single games. I've seen maybe even 2 games put together. But then come Sunday, what happens? They just, nothing. The game fell over the second it was 3-1. You're like, oh, man, I guess no more runs are getting scored today. That's kind of a bummer. And they're just right back to it. But this doesn't, like, the CAG stuff. Because, the truth is, if you're saying, hey, what would it take for you to be like, maybe he needs a breather in AAA again. At this point, because I don't think the team's going to the postseason, there's nothing almost.
I don't think going to the minors does any good for him.
I think solves this problem. Almost nothing. Maybe if he hit like exactly like this for another 6 weeks, I'll entertain it. But until that moment, I'm not really encouraged.
I don't think going to the minors does anything for him. We just got done saying that he was overmatching everybody, or he wasn't outmatched. They were outmatched against him in the minors. No, mm-hmm. you go through your struggles at the big league level. As long as you don't think, mentally he's shot or something like that, but also you send him down, then what's that to your confidence? If you're this top prospect and you get sent down, we're still talking about 23 games. I know it feels like he's been up for 3 months, but we're still talking about 23 games. And I'll echo it again. If everybody else was hitting and he was the only one struggling, and like, then you, we just got that. We're talking about the offense being its worst in franchise history. Why do I think the rookie would come up and he'd be the guy that's just hitting? So no, it's not him. This goes back to the whole point. about where they're at as a organization when it comes to hitting and development and at the big league level and their approach. And we've talked about the players. Like, don't make, this is not to put the pressure
players
off.
Players are always more accountable.
To take the pressures off the players. They have just done everything player-wise that I think they can do internally. It is now your offense is where it's at, you know, holding people accountable. And yeah, to a certain extent, you know, you have to show that this is not, being a franchise worst offense is not acceptable. And I know deep down those guys in the organization are not happy with the way things are going. Of course not. But I just, this notion of like, well, it's going to just keep riding it out there and that there are no consequences, at least on the coaching staff level, to what has happened this year, and an expectation of you being a playoff team and now it's slipping away. And for a lot of people think it's already over. That's extremely frustrating. And I would be worried about my long-term development with some of my young prospects. That's all.
Look, I get the fear of like certain guys around certain players and the lack of development over the last couple of years. It's been one of the most frustrating offenses I've ever seen. And for the reasons we mentioned before the season, that I'd mentioned, like consistently scoring runs. I just want to watch the Royals put together a team for 2 or 3 or 4 years in a row that are right in the playoffs or near the playoffs or in the playoffs 3 out of 4 years. And all of that's still on the table. But when the offense can't score, then you start worrying. I did see over the weekend, this show's got another opportunity. Great news. For those who might have missed out on being in a Hallmark movie like Alex, did you see which show appears to be looking for extras in the Kansas City, specifically, I believe, Overland Park area coming up? A show you finally, I believe, got maybe fully caught up on?
Not fully caught up on. No, I'm a couple seasons in. I'm a season behind. I'm not on season 3 yet. You're talking about Ted Lasso, of course.
I am.
And I'm well aware of this casting call. I have already started the process.
Wow. So you've already submitted.
I feel like, you know, I've got the...
Going for another role.
Hollywood, you know, the IMDb page for the Hallmark movie. I figure, why not another role? Why not another role?
Do you have an IMDb page?
No.
If you get a second role,
they charge you. They charge you to do that, by the way.
Like per year?
Yeah, you have to pay for that thing.
What?
Yeah, unless like you're at a high enough level. Yeah, you have to pay. Like if you wanted to start, we got to pay. I'm not paying.
Well, I can't start one. I don't have any credits.
I'm not paying. So no, I do not have a page.
So you're once again going to try to be an extra.
Yeah, I submitted. No, I only put like only,
you got the itch, man. You got the acting itch.
The only dates I put were on the weekend though, because we got training camp coming up. We're gonna be a little busy. So any of the ones that involve weekdays, and I'm not missing shows for it. So it'd have to, if I got selected, it would
you
have
can
to
miss a show
in.
For it. It's okay.
So yes, the photos, the application has been submitted to the casting agency for Ted Lasso.
Drew, are you gonna? I have not submitted yet. Are you gonna?
I'm
submit?
Shocked you haven't.
I haven't submitted either. No.
I think we all three have to do it again. We all three did it last time. I think let's see what happens again.
I'm going to be so disappointed when they don't call.
How long
me
is the process?
What do you mean?
To submit?
Yes.
I don't know. 10 minutes.
You okay, got it. Probably. You got to submit like 4 photos, dude. Just 4 photos.
Okay.
Within the last 6 months or 2 months.
I'm going to say, if this is like a half hour like vetting process, that's too long.
What?
What do you. No, 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 no. You set up a profile at this casting agency. You upload 4 photos. You fill out your name, your height, your weight, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then you select some of the availability, and then if they'll get back to you if they're actually interested.
Perfect.
That's where we're at.
I am willing to miss this show in order to be on this. So I guess I'm just gonna have to just open up. Am I out of town? I don't think I'm out of town for any portion of this. So.
I'm
pretty much wide open availability. What can I say, Ted Lasso?
Wait, what is the window?
So the key with what they said is you can select one of the background roles. They don't want you applying for like 8 of them. So like whatever date and whatever, it'll tell you like, do they need people eating at a barbecue restaurant? Do they need people being referees or whatever? Like, so you can only pick one of those days that you select, Cody, and apply.
Yeah. Okay.
But that was
log
the whole
in
thing.
Here.
What role did you apply for? Or do you not want to say?
I'll just wait, and so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Oh, interesting. It's a secret, huh?
He doesn't want either of us taking spot.
No.
I mean, there's
no. I think we should all three apply again.
Okay.
I told Cody it's weekends only, so that gives him an idea.
Yeah, it does. Weekends only, huh? Okay. I'm opening up whatever. They won't let me just select them all.
No,
I'll do any of these things.
No, they specifically on the thing. It'll let you select more, but they request that you only select one background role. Mm. That was the whole blurb that they set up.
What are the roles? Like ref,
well, it's background
like
stuff. So like you would in one of them you would be acting if you're like you're a coach or a referee. There's There's some where you're just in a restaurant. There was another one where they're looking for if any twins, 6 months to 12 months old. If anybody has twins, 6 months to 12 months. Yeah.
6 months. So baby twins, man.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Otherwise you could qualify, you know?
That's right. Yeah. No.
That would have been pretty epic.
Someone says, if we pay for your IMDb page, can we make stuff up about you? How many Emmys do you want? That's funny. No, you have to pay for that, which is crazy. Crazy.
Okay. Well, I think the show should once again apply. I think Drew should apply. I'll apply, and we'll find out if any of us get selected.
That'd be awesome. We'll see what happens if somebody gets in. That would be pretty impressive. In a calendar year, if we had two people, or three, I guess, on this show that got into two different
all three of us shows or movies in different roles, That'd be wild.
Be hilarious.
Okay. I'm going to prepare accordingly.
Yeah. Send your photos in, man. Can you have the text line choose your photos? Can you get Twitter pick your photos, Cody, that you send in?
It's going to make it way less likely for me to get in, I'm going to say. Don't you think?
Someone says you guys are aiming too low. If the rumors are true that the new season will focus on women's soccer, which that is the rumor, maybe they need a local sports radio team to talk about the team's struggles and high points.
In all honesty, yeah.
That didn't seem like a role they were
not
offering.
I think they got that covered, yeah. They have stand-ins and background or whatever is what they have, so.
Yeah, I think they're cast real actors for that job.
I mean, this is a legit show.
I do think I could play a sports radio host on TV. I would just do this job.
Someone says, reminder, Cody, this is not a musical. You do not need to prepare a song for this tryout or for audition.
A lot of shows do a musical episode.
Well, I think that honestly, if they needed a radio group to talk about it, why not use the real thing where you guys, why would you need somebody to act like it when they can just come here to the studio?
Women's soccer team. He's coming back. Isn't the rumor that he's in season four? He's coming back to the United States or something, and he's going to coach this women's soccer team. I don't know.
I believe so.
It's a lot of rumors. So I haven't finished season three, so I got to see what happens.
We might have to send an email. We're going to get Sadiqas to come in studio, and we're going to record a little bit.
I'm sure he'll just come right in. He's not busy at all.
Absolutely. To be a part of the show, if it works, I think so.
He's very difficult to get in touch.
Is this thing asking for my shoe size?
Yes.
Oh man,
that's just the casting profile because they do other things.
How many inches my neck is?
Oh, I didn't put in those measurements.
It says it's required.
No, it's not.
Oh
no, it's not. That's just your general profile.
Oh, okay.
I did not measure my neck.
Okay. All right. I'll figure this out. You didn't measure your neck for this.
I did not.
Well, what if they want to know?
Then just give an estimate. You think it's, you know?
Just give an
17?
What's a normal
15
size
and a half? 17? Anyway. All right. Up next. We were not here on Friday. We were doing our football planning for the fall. We got some exciting stuff coming up this football season. So we didn't get a chance to talk about the latest updates on the stadium front. And what does it all mean? We'll do that, plus a big trade in the NFL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I fell today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have to get to something that we all noticed during the break. It's something that some of you have already texted in about. It's something that in particular, Drew, I think, would be the most excited of the group.
This just made my day. I'm excited.
But I have to admit, if this actually was a thing, and this is more than just a little tease, then I would be thrilled. I'll be thrilled to bring back some good memories, kind of like what we had last summer with a certain video game. So we'll get to that news, maybe, or at least the teasing of that announcement in just a second. But we were out planning on Friday, getting set for football season. Every show is doing this at the station. The morning show did theirs a couple Fridays ago, and getting set for our training camp plan. We think some fun ideas we've got for training camp, some things we're looking forward to doing this fall as well that are involve you guys. And so just getting things set up for another football season here on Cody and Gold. While that was going on the night before, the Kansas City Chiefs put out a release to the Kansas legislature, and I guess it was a joint kind of letter with the legislature, which was about the extension of the Star Bonds. Now, that in its own right is not surprising. We thought that they would likely extend the Star Bonds
past they were asking.
June 30th. But it was a formal request. The fact that it's been extended till the end of 2025, the Chiefs seeking that extension. And I'm not going to read you the full statement, all right? I'm not going to bore you with that. You can read the full statement if you would like. But basically, in the letter, Mark Donovan, Chiefs team president, wrote, quote, "We are excited about the potential for this project, which would represent the largest economic development initiative in the state's history. Just as important, the presence of an NFL franchise in Kansas will serve as a powerful engine for immediate and long-term growth, driving national attention, sustained tourism, billions more in private development across the state." This does not mean that they are going to Kansas. It just keeps their options, you know, open at this point in time, which is now, it sounds like, till the end of the year. So has the deadline for the Chiefs been pushed back? Yeah, it's been pushed back. I think this gives them an opportunity. If they want to pursue the renovation and it requires a November ballot, this gives them a fallback plan. That's one way to look at it. That, hey, oh, if things went south in November, if in fact they pursue that avenue, then, well, you know, you have maybe Kansas's Starbond package still, and you could just accept that at the end of the year. The other part is still, like, maybe they haven't made up their decision, truly, and that they are waiting, and there's no reason to close the door on it yet until you know 100% that this is the option that you want to take.
Make no mistake about this. This is a threat, and for I sure. am about 99% sure that the ad campaign from the Chiefs for a November ballot, which is what I think will all happen here, is I believe, Gold, that they will come on here and they will say, vote for this or we're leaving. Here you go, Jackson County. Vote for this or we're gone. That's what I actually think is going to take place. I think this is like, hey, we're on our own now. We're leaving you outside of this. Either you can vote for this or we're going to take off. And that's up to you guys. And then the Chiefs are like, we're no fault here at all. We have told you again, we will stay here given the opportunity, given the chance to do so. We're planning on, come on, just give us a chance. We'll stay, but you have to vote for it in order to do it. That's what I think this entire setup and play is for, which is
Well, leverage is being used for sure.
And leverage is being used certainly outside of that. And that's, I think the Royals are a lot closer to just saying, this is where we're going. And I really do think, even though, you know, like I know it could still go a couple different ways, I'm pretty sure that they're going to try to squeeze a November ballot. They're going to take the Missouri money. And just as long as Jackson County gives them the money they want for a renovation, Arrowhead will live all on its own down there. The question I still have is, were the Royals the biggest problem with that vote? Or now that like the threat of leaving is more real, will that make it, will the Royals have to accept Kansas's money to make it seem more likely? Let's just say the Royals announce they're going to stay in Missouri. Mm-hmm. I don't care where.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it 16 points different just not having the Royals on it? Or because they're like, we're going to take the Kansas money if you don't vote for it. Is that enough to swing the vote? That's the part I'm not sure about.
Yeah, I mean, well, then the other part of the equation would be, still be, and I guess the correct answer is, hey, initially you were trying to be transparent about the process, et cetera, but if the Royals end up just going to Washington Square Park, and if it's true that they don't need a public vote to get the city claims to move some money around to make it work, well, then it's like, well, why did you even go through with the whole process for the public vote to begin with the very first time? You were trying to go through the public process. I get it. That's probably the answer. But like, well, you could have saved yourself a lot of this mess and everything if you just would have settled that initially. But I think, it's leverage. I mean, if you were a Jackson County resident, you guys can text in. Tell us. I don't live in Jackson County. You tell me. 913-586-7965. If you knew, let's say the Chiefs went to a November ballot for a renovated Arrowhead. If you knew 2 months prior to that, that the Royals said they were leaving for Kansas, would that make you even more likely or likely at all to vote for the Chiefs, knowing that, hey, you already quote unquote lost a team? Sure. Would you want to risk losing both, kind of thing? And for the record, I don't think both teams are going to Kansas. I would be shocked at that at this point in time. I really would. I think one is staying in Missouri. Which one? We can debate back and forth. Everybody's trying to guess a little bit.
I don't think they're losing both. No. But you know,
I told you though, I think you and I are on the same page on this in general. I have never, as much as I love Arrowhead, totally love it. First sporting venue I've ever been to in my life. I've gone to more games there than any other sports venue in my entire life. I don't get putting $1 billion, or actually now it's $1.4 billion, I guess, on the proposed renovation towards a stadium of its age. It doesn't make any sense to me. But same. We all know some of the debate for the Hunt family is that, hey, this is their legacy. Their dad obviously brought the team, built this that's a whole different conversation for them than it is from those on the outside. And I know there's a lot of you listening that are dead set on them staying at Arrowhead too. So it's a debated topic for a reason. It's a tough decision to make. I'm just saying personally, I don't believe in putting $1.4 billion into a stadium of that age, but that is just me. So I've always preferred a new stadium.
But you'd probably still, like, if you lived in Jackson County, you'd probably still vote for it versus them.
Oh, I would have voted for it last April.
Yeah. Like, I guess, and that's where, like, that's where I kind of want to know where the fans are, at least on this end. But I think that they're going to make, and maybe not. Maybe they think that'll be too off-putting to their fans. This all feels like the setup for voter, we're leaving, and just telling Kansas, we're leaving. Or at the very least, maybe that's not the ad campaign gold. Maybe they don't sit up in an ad and be like,
they're not going to have it as blood as that.
November, if you don't vote, we're going to Kansas. But I can tell you all, like, I feel like at the very least, there'll be people like Nate Taylor or Matt Evans or the people who've been consistently reporting on this stuff saying the thought internally is if this vote fails, they're just going to take the Kansas money and build their stadium there.
I think it'd be very obvious. I think most people would be able to infer that without, they don't have to have even a blunt version of the campaign.
But why not do it blunt? Like, if that's what your plan is, that's how you really get the vote.
Because you, as much as it's implied, you don't publicly in a campaign from a PR perspective want to threaten your voters and your fans. That's why.
You're saying that would go over poorly.
Yes.
Okay. Look, I mean, I get it. Someone says I'm voting for it regardless. The economic good of the stadiums. I'm not voting. Wait, I am voting for them regardless. The economic good of the stadiums is a lie, according to them. Look, here's the part. The one part where I'm kind of torn on this is I do think that they inflate the numbers. I'm not going to try to pretend that that's the case. I think they try to do it. I really don't think that it could just be like an entire mess of an economic situation in fairness if given that all these cities and municipalities and states go for it. Does that make some sense, right? Like, it can't be like a total economic disaster if every state, every city, every county is constantly fighting for these teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've looked at other events. Like, if it wasn't for Arrowhead, just even as it is currently, and they already have renovated, as we all know, one time. If that renovation didn't occur, the World Cup would not be coming next summer. If the airport wasn't done, the World Cup would not be coming. And if the airport maybe doesn't get done, if the draft's not coming. My point is that the fact that the Chiefs exist in the state of Missouri is why other events and other things have come to the city. It's not just directly the Chiefs on a Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead, what money that brings in terms of travel. It is everything else around it. I would also say that in the Chiefs' case, we all know the 1% earnings tax. It's not Jackson County, right? That's a KCMO 1% earnings tax. That is real money that walks out the door across the state if they were to leave, right? If they were to leave. That is money you're never making up. That's not just football, as you know, Cody. That's concert performers' revenue or income. That's 1% of all the 1% of everything, you know, that is happening there at Arrowhead, basically, from a athlete, a performer, et cetera.
All that stuff moves to the other side of the state line and obviously has some sort of economic benefit in order to, you know, these teams or these states and these counties in order to do it.
Someone says you have no idea what Jackson County did to its taxpayers. Now, we've talked plenty about the personal property mess. And I believe in terms of Frank White, I believe they're like 200 or 300 signatures away from trying to get the recall thing going. I have no idea how that's going to turn out. But no, we've talked about the ridiculousness of property taxes and how that has played a role in this, for sure. It's something we've brought up before.
Nobody here is making an argument that Jackson County, and that's, again, why I think it's a tough climb. That's why I'm asking.
Well, I don't think it's a sure 100% that it passes in November if they went back to a ballot.
I
Chiefs
think
only.
The Chiefs seem, I guess this is the arrogance of it. The Chiefs seem to think that the issue is that the Royals were gumming up the works. And I'm not saying that the Royals weren't part of the reason they lost, because their lack of information on their downtown site and choosing the less popular downtown site and some of the noise that came with that obviously played some sort of factor in this. But no, I also just don't think that I thought the Chiefs renovation plan was equally as big a part of the problem. So unless they're planning on revealing, and I think they are, a more fan-friendly or popular plan to renovate Arrowhead, I don't think it's going to pass. I think if they just roll out the same bag of bones they just did, and they're like, here's a concrete pathway, a tarp over the top of the upper deck, and a bunch of suites, I don't think it'll pass. I think they better come with something else.
Well, this renovation, they've already, the 1.4 is a significant increase from the renovation plan last April. That's also the difference, too.
Some of that's just cost too, right?
Sure, some of it is, but that's a significant increase from the renovation that they proposed back in April of 2024.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just saying, how different is it going to look in your mind?
We'll talk more about the stadium stuff a little bit later on as well. But that was just, we were just getting caught up on it as we were not here on Friday. Wanted to give some thoughts on that. We'll take your text 913-586-7965. There was a rare trade in the NFL that went down, and I guess has just gone down, and there's even more details continuing to come out every couple minutes with this one. We do not see player-for-player trades, and there's some picks involved too, but player-for-player trades in the NFL very often. Like, you just don't. I wish we did, because it's fun. You just don't see it in the NFL.
Very fun.
Adam Schefter has the latest details, so here's where we're at. It involves the Steelers and the Dolphins. And there were rumors for a while about Jonnu Smith. There were some rumors about Jalen Ramsey. Where would he end up? Here's the final details, according to Schefter, in today's trade. The Steelers have traded for Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, the tight end, and a seventh-round pick in 2027. The Dolphins get Minkah Fitzpatrick, the safety, who once was a member of the Miami Dolphins, and a 2027 fifth-round pick. So they swap 2027 picks. They swap Minkah for Jalen, and then the Steelers also got Jonnu Smith. Jalen Ramsey is going to make $26 million this year.
Raise.
He's 30 years old. Yeah, the Steelers, we all know they went with Aaron Rodgers. It's a one-year all-in type of an approach. Does this trade not happen if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign there? Like, if you told me that they were rolling into the season with Will Howard and Mason Rudolph, let's say, would they have traded for Jalen Ramsey? Because this feels like it's, all right, we're giving it a go here. We're giving it a go. We've been stuck at 10 wins. Does this move the needle for you, though?
Because it's still Aaron Rodgers. The core of your plan is a 40-year-old quarterback.
It's just still there in the AFC North, one of the most difficult divisions in football. You still have, the third-best quarterback in your division, right? Because you got Lamar and Burrow that exist. So you got the third-best quarterback in your division. That Steelers team has been stuck in the same spot. I looked, by the way, the odds have not shifted. They still are the same odds to win the Super Bowl and all that as they were prior to this move today.
I mean, that makes sense because I would think more it's about the other side of it than anything else. But, like, no, it doesn't move the needle other than my biggest takeaway kind of from the way that this is structured is that they want a reason to fire Mike Tomlin. And they don't have a reason if his quarterback is Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett or Russell Wilson on a $2 million deal. Because based on that quarterback situation, he is exceeding expectations. Like, as of the quarterbacks he's had since Ben Roethlisberger, he's actually exceeded expectations for what he would be expected to do. And what they're doing here is a last gasp of sorts of, all right, we'll give you all the guys you want. Here's Jalen Ramsey. You got TJ Watt to go with him. We got the whole crew for you. And what we're going to do here is we're going to give you everybody in play. And if it goes south again this year, well, then we're going to blow the whole thing up. We're going to get the new quarterback in the draft, but we're also going to get the new coach, get the new everything, and we're just going to start from scratch.
Oh, if they only
it feels like this is about Tomlin in a lot of ways than just like, let's give Aaron Rodgers everything.
Yeah, Tomlin's never been below 500, but if you told me with this approach that they won 7 or 8 games this season, then I think it would be best for everybody to part ways and just blow the entire thing up. Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of Steelers fans that were wanting them to do that for a couple of years because they are stuck just in this mediocrity. They're stuck. They're a 9-10-11 win team most years. Heck, even the year where they surprised everybody and won, what was it, a couple years ago, they won like 12 or 13 games. We all were like, yeah, that team is not going to actually be a contender when they got off to that great start a couple years ago. So I think Pittsburgh doesn't really change. I think they're, once again, like a 10-win football team this year. That's kind of where they're at. If they shock the world and they win the AFC North and win 13 games, okay, let's have a different conversation. That requires Aaron Rodgers going back to playing at an MVP level, in my opinion. For them to win the division, he would have to roll back the clock to 2021, or really 2019, if we're being real. That's what he would have to be.
I don't disagree, but also, look, that's not out of the question. I do think Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ago still showed enough skill that maybe there's some, like, I don't know, hidden potential in his game. But it's not going back to the MVP level, which means average quarterback play. I will just tell you that I thought they got not way off, certainly below, but not way off average quarterback play last year for Russell Wilson. So it's not like, oh no, what are they going to do? It just, I feel like they're looking for, this sounds silly, because I know that no team would ever say this. I think that they want a public answer for why we would let go of Tomlin. For an organization that's
I think there's fan base. I think a lot of
three head coaches in there. Yeah, but just
there,
as an organization, I think they have just a personal philosophy that they've got to like try everything before they let go of a coach. The previous two coaches didn't even get fired. The previous two coaches quit. They retired. Chuck Knoll won a bunch and retired. Bill Cowher won a bunch and retired. They've never even actually fired a head coach before. And so this is
one of the
intent.
Most successful franchises in sports history.
And this is one of those ways of just being like, okay, we gave it everything. We gave it everything. So I feel like it's more about Tomlin than let's get the organization back to where we believe, because they're probably lining up for another, what I think to be another mediocre season of, we went 10-7. We were the 6 or 7 seed in the NFL playoffs. We lost in round one to the Chiefs or Bills or Ravens, whoever.
That's who they are.
And then just tear it all down anyway. I feel like it's a test for Tomlin more than it is about winning it with Rodgers or getting the best defense possible or that stuff.
It is a little bit odd that they're not, that they're trying to do it in a year where the quarterback class is stronger than it has been in, particularly this past season.
Yeah, I mean, I think, there's a lot of Steelers fans out there that would have suggested they kind of just tear this thing down, and instead of middling around 10 wins every season with no real chance to win a Super Bowl, that, hey, deal with it for a year or so, it's rough, but go get your franchise quarterback and move forward. And they've refused to do that. And Mike Tomlin is a hell of a coach. I'll push back on, like, they're testing Mike Tomlin. I don't know if I agree with that notion. I hear you on the, hey, they're apparently, like, all in. This is, hey, we got Rodgers, so let's go and get Mike Tomlin, a pretty good duo at corner with Porter Jr. and now Ramsey, although I liked Minkah Fitzpatrick as a safety quite a bit. And they traded for him. They loved him at the time. So I don't know what happened with Fitzpatrick.
Maybe he just didn't want to be a pitcher anymore.
Maybe so. But I don't think, like, Mike Tomlin has to prove to us. Like, they clearly, I mean, otherwise Mike Tomlin would have been gone a couple years ago. I mean, I think this is just, let's give it one more shot here. And if this whole philosophy as an organization doesn't work again, maybe the Rooney family, are they finally ready to tear it all down? I'm with you in that regard. But like Mike Tomlin doesn't have to prove anything to that organization, the ownership. Otherwise, he would have been gone years ago.
Does it change anything for your Bengals, Drew? Sorry, no, I was going to say. Does it change anything for Cincinnati? AFC North is a tough division. Although the Browns are a joke.
It's just the AFC North is finding a way. I mean, the Steelers did it with drafting Harmon. Then you got the Ravens getting Jair Alexander. It's like, why can't they sign somebody who's just like it's a nothing.
But this
burger,
just sounds like,
you know?
You're jealous that teams are good at football operations.
That's
like it doesn't sound
it. Yes,
like
that's part of it.
They're better at drafting and signing free agents.
That is definitely
than,
part of it.
And Cincinnati is. You're not even talking about like the Packers just happen to get like quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. Like they just never miss, right? Just hits.
No, for my entire life, I have hated the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's not because. I hate them because they're always so good, and it's such a hassle to beat them every single year.
Even Russell Wilson, they were in the playoffs, and Cincinnati wasn't.
Yeah, I mean,
they find a way, and it's Mike Tomlin, you know? It's Mike Tomlin.
Look, I don't think Tomlin would have a hard time getting a job.
He would get
clear.
A job immediately.
Oh, yeah.
If Mike Tomlin got fired, it'd be an Andy Reid situation. Some team would be backing up the Brinks truck, telling him, do not leave this town, this city.
The Tennessee Titans, coach. If things don't go well in year one with Cam Moore, this is now year two of Callahan or whatever his name is their head coach. They
Brian
would fire,
Callahan?
Brian Callahan.
Brian, yeah, Bill's his dad, right? So Brian Callahan, if they won five games this year and Cam Ward is they would fire he's probably getting fired after the season. And if Mike Tomlin got fired, Tennessee would be idiots not to try to hire Mike Tomlin in that scenario. It's the NFL. There'll be five openings. We don't know who they are. We think the Giants might open up after this year. Like if we were to go through right now, quick exercise, most likely Dable's out after this year.
Yeah.
All right. They're starting Russell Wilson at quarterback. I think Tennessee could have an opening after this year, after 2 years of Callahan. So there's two jobs right there. No jobs are opening up in the AFC West. Okay.
Cowboys
so,
could be open.
Cowboys job, I think, is the one.
It would have to, I think with Schottenheimer, who just got, it would have to be like
Stefanski
ugly,
on the hot
ugly,
seat.
Ugly.
I think they would
fight. Stefanski is on the hot seat.
I think they, if the Cowboys go 10-7, they lose in the first round, they'd fire Schottenheimer to get
not
to Mike Tomlin.
I think Steichen could get fired.
To get to Mike Tomlin.
To get to Mike Tomlin.
To get to Mike Tomlin.
I'm just trying to talk about what jobs are going to open up.
I think Steichen could get fired.
Yes, that's another one.
In year two, I think McDermott, if they came up short of expectations.
I don't think
if they ever have a 9-win year. Yeah,
they're not with Josh Allen. Not with Josh Allen.
And Zach Taylor?
The division's not.
Another bad September.
Zach Taylor misses the playoffs again. You telling me his ass isn't on?
Another bad September, another 9-win season.
I think it would take them only winning like five games to fire Zach Taylor.
McDaniel? I mean, these are all possibilities.
Miami?
I'm not saying any of these
Miami could open up, yeah.
I'm not saying any of these are definitive firings. I'm just saying, like, all those jobs could come open depending on what the season is.
They're on the watch list, the hot seat, if you will. We ran out of time there a little bit. I wanted to get to the tweet that Drew was very excited about.
Oh, we can talk about it on the other side.
Yeah, there was a tweet that might signal something is about to happen. Ooh. For the first time in, would it be like 12 years?
When the game comes out, it will have almost been 20.
Okay. All right, so we'll get to that.
Well, I almost kind of was a tough tease.
You're good.
When it's released, you know what? I'm not even going
to
try.
You're good. All right, up next, though, we'll get to that tweet, and we'll also talk about some of these quarterbacks in the AFC West, plus another sports betting controversy in the NBA. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.